Welcome to the Infertile Mafia. That's Sarah.
And that's Kayla. It's National Infertility Awareness Week, and the theme this year is hashtag infertility uncovered.
We have had some great guests on the podcast over the past year. That's right. We've been out for a whole year now.
We're so old.
I know, right? We're learning to walk. We're eating solid foods.
Yeah.
We might have a few words that we can actually say. Like,
we're growing some teeth. Our hair's a little longer.
Yep. It's maybe has a few curls, something like that.
Yeah,
exactly. We've had some great guests on the podcast that have uncovered lots of different aspects and perspectives on infertility. So we thought this week we wanted to give you an episode every day for National Infertility Awareness Week and give you updates on some of our mafia members that we've included on the podcast and share some highlights from their interviews.
There are some good updates.
Yeah, there are. Yeah.
So, without further ado, enjoy the special bonus episode from your mob bosses of the Infertile Mafia. This episode features one of Kayla's favorite things, the jerk-off room, and all the stories.
Baby. I do.
You really do.
I really do.
And people love telling you.
We all have our thing. I've said this before. Come on. I think I'm not the only one, because in one of the most recent episodes, you know, when we did the podcast swap with BFN.
Yeah.
And like one of the first things Emma said was that it was, you know, something like, oh, it's hilarious that there's men all over the place having a wank, which of course made me laugh. And she was encouraging men and women alike to just laugh at the fact that you're having a wank.
In so a public funny. Place. Usually you'd get arrested for that.
Exactly. When else in life do you... Oh, it's just absurd. It's just crazy. I don't know. When you really stop to think about it, it's so absurd that you schedule a time in your day to like go to a doctor's office, go behind closed doors to look at porn and masturbate, and then like pay someone for to do that. It's just absurd.
Yeah, you pay for someone to look through it.
Would you rather, right? It's so weird.
What?
Would you rather the shoe be on the other foot? So would you rather have an egg retrieval surgery or just be able to go into a room and masturbate your way into, like, what if we could get the eggs out just by masturbating?
Ooh.
Come on, Sarah. I think that's the much, like, duh choice. Come on. Surgery?
I mean, yes, it would be easier to just masturbate.
Right. What's the hesitation here?
Talking about it.
Oh, talking. You don't like to talk about masturbation.
No, I mean, the jerk-off rooms are your thing. So
maybe masturbation is my thing.
Maybe.
I would much rather masturbate my way through IVF than have to go through egg retrieval and transfers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Trying is the funnest part.
Trying is the fun part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, when you put it that way. Of course.
I mean, I'm always the one that's sympathetic to the men. In this conversation, I'm not being, because, yeah, I mean, I say that, like, yeah, I would much rather masturbate my way to children, but I don't want to go do it in a public place with people in the waiting room right behind the other door. Which brings me to my point, to our point in this episode. We're including all kinds of clips from lots of different episodes because you guys have shared some doozies with us about your jerk-off room stories. Like, some of them are crazy.
Yeah.
They really are.
Oh, yeah. They are, because yeah. awkward things happen.
Super awkward things. So, yeah. And of course, like, we're including one of our absolute faves from our friend Steph.
She's just hilarious.
I love Steph. We love you so much. Should we give an update on Steph?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do
we
it.
We should.
So we interviewed her recently, Mafia Meets Steph. I don't remember the number right this second, but it's one of our most recent episodes. And she is using a friend who offered donor eggs, like went through IVF, did the donor egg thing. They did the whole IVF thing, like got... I don't remember how many embryos. And then she had another friend that was offering to be a surrogate who has now gone through 3 transfers and none of them have worked.
So sad.
It's so sad. And to add insult to injury, but except not really, because this was a good thing. But when we interviewed her, she was like right in the thick of that. So they had the transfer. She was in her 2-week wait. But she also had this major surgery right around the corner. So we were like right in between those two things for her, because she has the worst case of endometriosis I have ever heard of.
Yeah, what did they call it?
They called it, what was it called?
I'm thinking ice box, but that's not right.
Yeah, because it was like frozen pelvis.
Frozen pelvis, that's what it is.
Or like... terminal stage endometriosis, like all these super crazy scary things where
it's a very scary term.
It's yeah, of course, anything with the word terminal is super scary. And but of course, like, you know, if you've listened to that episode, she is awesome and she's amazing and she's such a light and has such a positive, sunny disposition about everything and is just like takes it in stride. I think she said something like, I just tell myself that anything that's shitty like right now is gonna be funny at some point in my life. Which is kind of true most of the time when you think about it.
She does PR, so she's good at spinning things.
There you go. Yeah, which I think she said that, so yes. Yeah, so she did have the surgery. And you have to understand, like, this was life altering for her, because she had so much pain and so many like dietary restrictions and other restrictions. And this was major, major surgery. Like, we talk about it in that episode, but like had her uterus removed, had, everything removed. Right. And then had like parts of her lung and bowel and everything like resected, and it's just crazy. I'm probably getting it wrong. I'm sorry, Steph, but it was intense major surgery to correct this incredibly debilitating endometriosis. So she's been through the surgery now and she's doing really well. And I mean, it's a long recovery, but she's doing really well and she's getting back on that horse and she's gonna ride off into the sunset.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but I wanted to include, this is her husband. I was going to say his name, but I'll leave it out.
Yeah. Maybe leave that out.
I'll leave it out. Her husband's jerk off room story that she shared with us with his permission. And it was so funny that, I mean, we had to edit out so much laughter because we were like crying. We were crying. We were laughing so hard.
It was raining on my face.
It was because it was just so funny. So, Steph, thank you for always making the Mafia laugh. You are one of my favorites.
So is everyone else. Don't feel bad. We love everyone equally.
Except I love Steph a little bit more, I'm not going to lie.
She is pretty awesome.
Yeah, so enjoy these jerk-off room stories.
One time, my friend's husband used lotion. And his semen analysis came back really bad.
Yeah, you can't use any helpers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't. So don't use lotion.
Or you know.
Spit? Yeah. Oh, is that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it kills
the sperm. I was trying
to
think of a tactful way to get that. But yeah, spit.
Spit. Nature's lube.
Spit. Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
she has
no helpers.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
She has one more. And she says, once for an IUI, there wasn't a room available for him to give a sample. So he had to use the bathroom that was for the whole floor of offices. I seriously stood guard and made sure nobody went in there while he was in one of the stalls.
Oh, no.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
That's so awkward.
So awkward. Just in the bathroom with your wife standing guard trying to make sure nobody comes in. That is a lot of pressure.
That is. Why would they do that to him?
I don't know. I mean, I guess because I'm sure her appointment for the IUI was at a certain time and they needed the semen and I don't know.
That's so awkward.
Yeah.
And seems unsanitary.
It does seem unsanitary. But you can give it from anywhere. Like Bill's going to talk about how we did our samples. We did a bunch of them at home.
I thought you were going to say the car. Sounds illegal.
It does sound illegal. Like what's happening in this car?
So this one is from Facebook and it's from Whitney. She said, my husband's worst experience was the doctor right outside his room talking about a sandwich for lunch. Hubby was getting frustrated, I guess, because he couldn't concentrate on the task at hand. I wonder what the sandwich was.
Like, Sarah wonders what the sandwich
was. It a really good sandwich? Because I've been thinking about this sandwich from Harpo's.
There was a couple more. Whitney added a few more. Whitney and her husband, they've had a few a few instances. So another one she wrote was, running from the OB office to the lab with my husband's spermies between my boobs, laughing hysterically about what an adventure our life is. And I told her that we did that more than once as well. Had to keep the sperm in the boobs because you have to keep them warm.
That makes
sense. After they give the sample. Yeah. And then she also wrote, the very first semen analysis where a crotchety old nurse took us both into a room and we were both floored. Neither one of us had planned for me to be in the room and poor hubby could not do it with me in the room. I was too mortified to even offer to help and just left him alone to finish up the job. Have you ever heard of... Oh, you said that was your experience.
The first time we went to have his semen analysis, they're like, okay, you come back here. I'm like, wait, I have to go back? So that we get back there and it's like a bathroom without a toilet, but with a big leather chair in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then like weird porn magazines.
Right.
Like boobs everywhere. And they're just like, okay.
Have fun.
And I was like, do I have to do everything? I guess I do. All right. The first one's from Kendall. She said, my hubby told me about the most awkward parts of the jerk-off room.
Yes, tell me.
There was no chair anywhere for him to sit, so he had to stand there, pants around his ankles, and take care of business. Mm. He should have just taken his pants all the way off.
Just get comfortable.
Yeah. When he finished, do they usually do it sitting down? I don't know.
I think it's a personal decision.
I don't know.
No, I haven't. I don't know a lot of. It seems like of all the jerk off room stories we've heard and shared, most men stand up.
Yeah. Anyway. So when he finished, the receptionist asked method of retrieval and he looked at her all puzzled and said, manual, is that right? And she said, that works. I just wonder what other way is there.
I don't know.
He's like, I had some ribs removed.
Oh, okay. Not really a story, but my husband refers to the disposable pad that they put on the chair in the jerk-off room as a puppy pad.
It probably is.
It probably is. And he says he refuses to sit on it because it weirds him out. So he does the deed standing up. There we go. There's
another one.
Uh-huh. I wouldn't sit on it. Ew.
Why? Ugh. It's there for your protection.
So that's talk about today. The
jerk off room.
Oh, you know I love it.
I do.
No, I just thought I couldn't let it slide. Those stories. Someone posted a picture of a jerk off room in our Facebook group, and my comment was like, "Am I weird that I zoomed in on every detail of this photo?" I want to know all the details.
Was this the one where they had to pay for the porn?
Yeah, so this, I'm going to leave, everybody's going to be anonymous here because we did not say we were, you know, this wasn't something that we said we were going to openly share names about. So it's just general stories here. But yeah, people were commenting on some of their partners' experiences. And one person said that her husband had to pay to rent porn.
But he didn't pay.
No.
She said, so what'd you do? And he went on Twitter. Yeah. Twitter porn.
I've never heard of Twitter porn.
I haven't either. And I kind of like want to look, but then I also don't want to look.
Right. Yeah.
Because Peter can see like everyone's web pages that they visit from his computer. So like even on my phone. So
just do it together.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Valentine's Day is coming. Just check out
Twitter porn.
Because if you had a list of like five people, you know, that you know, like your freebie list, he'd be on your list.
I don't know.
He'd be on mine. No, can you imagine though, just there's some man going up to the counter. Like, that nurse has to feel like she's running some kind of, like, porn shop. You know? He's like, I need some porn. That'll be $10, sir. What would you like? What are you into? That one with the busty chicks? I mean, what do you say?
He's like, I'm into asses. What do you have for that? Or, like... I was gonna go too far with it. Never mind.
Do they have like a thing that you flip through to find which one you want? And then, you know, oh my gosh, it's so demoralizing. There's so many things wrong with that. It's like, and on top of it, it's like you're spending so much money for fertility treatments, and then on top of it, you're gonna charge me like $10 to rent your stupid, probably outdated 90s porn.
There's just nickel and dime in you.
That is the true sense of the word. But my favorite, though, was I laughed out loud. Like, I think I spit out my drink when I read this one. So someone said they were playing this song the whole time her husband was giving his sample. Ready?
Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel. You're as ugly as you're as charming as a
Sorry.
Heel.
That's there a good go. One.
I couldn't believe that. I died.
Mr. Grinch.
I died laughing. That was so funny. Anyway.
These poor guys.
I hope just the solidarity of like talking about these crazy, absurd situations you find yourself in bring you some kind of comfort knowing that you're not alone having to shop for porn at the fertility clinic. Wow.
So weird.
So weird.
So we're going to be playing Bill's interview next.
So let's move on to something more practical. For all the male listeners out there, I want you to talk about the jerk-off room.
Well, That only applied for the IUI attempts we made.
What do you mean?
Well, there's a...
You had two or maybe three semen analyses before we ever even did IUI.
Okay, well...
And then again for IVF.
Yeah, all right.
And then again when we froze your sperm. I mean, you were intimately involved with the jerk off room.
Yeah.
You did it more times than you remember.
I don't have a lot of good things to say about it, honestly. I have some funny things to say about it. One, they could use to refresh their collection of material, at least at the facility we went to here in Chicago. While I was old enough to view that sort of thing in the early 90s, I didn't think it was quite as relevant come 2015 when this was all happening. So that threw me for a loop.
It threw you for a loop that the porn was from the 90s?
It was a little dated, let me say that.
Hey, fertility clinics out there, nobody wants dated porn.
Yeah, come on. It's not that expensive.
I want you to tell the story about when you missed the cup.
Yeah. So, when you do it from home, it's critical that the sample be kept warm while you're en route to the lab where they take it from you and wash it and test it and everything. So time is of the essence. And
but it's okay. I kept it warm in my cleavage. We stuck the vial of sperm between the boobies and kept it warm.
Right. But anyway, I think it was the first time we tried to do this with me at home.
Yeah, it was. It was the first IUI, I remember now.
Kayla had gone down to get the car out front so that I could finish the job. And
it was like we were Bonnie and Clyde is what it was like.
It was like, I can just run downstairs. We don't have to...
It was like a bank heist.
We don't have to wander through the parking garage to the car. The cup was tucked underneath my armpit or something where it would be kept warm. And so we had this plan, and we were going to hustle over there so that it would still be warm and everything for the lab folks to test it. And away I went, this time with adequate Wi-Fi service. Much more adequate. And I missed. They're not that big a cup.
I know. I know.
You don't really think about that when you're doing that without a cup. aim is not really on your mind.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it had to be this time.
Yeah.
And some of it ended up on the floor, I guess, instead of in the cup. But we had an appointment and...
You were like, damn it, I'm taking what we have.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was half or what that we ended up with. And
you know what? Ironically, what we ended up with was one of the best samples we had. It ended up being
a pretty good sample, but it was pretty annoying to think that I missed.
Yeah. I remember one thing I was going to say. Was from my perspective that incident specifically when you missed the cup, it was like any normal morning where you kiss your husband goodbye, like you're going to work, except you know that he's going back into the bathroom to whack it, and I'm going to get the car, pull it around so that he's, because we live in a condo, so that he can just come downstairs, hop in the car, and we can zoom off to the doctor. And so I do that. I'm sitting in the car and I'm waiting. And you have one of those surreal moments where you're like, what is happening? What are we doing? Like, is this really what we have to do to have a baby? It is. And then when you jump in the car, I see you come out of the building, you jump in the car, and your exact words were, I missed the fucking cup. Those are your exact words. And he was not happy, boys and girls. And neither was I. We felt like so defeated. We felt like as soon as we get this over to Sue, she's going to say we can't do this IUI today. And we're going to have to reschedule it for next month. Because as you know, there's just this little window of time that you can do this. And we felt really defeated. But like I said, ironically, I mean, imagine how good it would have been if you'd gotten every last drop.
Only takes one.
Only takes one. Only takes one of the millions.
Let's finish up with something a little lighter, which is from one of my favorite people, Steph.
The Canadian.
She has a jerk-off room story. Guys, course. I love jerk-off room stories.
She loves jerk-off rooms. Sometimes she just goes and hangs out in there.
I have an unhealthy obsession with jerk-off room stories. I want more people to send me jerk-off room stories.
So you are asking for some weird stuff to come your way.
The weirder the better. She shared it on the post in the Facebook group about the episode that we did on sperm.
I keep reading the first sentence and then it makes me laugh. Do you want me to read it?
I'll read it. I got it.
Okay.
I got it. Okay. Hold on. I need another sip of wine. Okay. Here we go. Sarah keeps laughing. Okay. So my husband... Guys, this one had us rolling. Okay, I have to cover up Sarah so I can't see her face. Okay. So my husband caught the screw edge of the sample bottle with his penis while he was providing his sample. Oh boy. It hurt enough that he let out a little noise. And the sperm nurse is like 2 feet from the door of the jerk-off room. So he had to shame-hand her the sample, knowing full well it sounded like he was enjoying himself so much that he let out a big moan. It's so funny.
I'm just imagining it.
Right. There's some poor guy who's like getting his penis sliced by the screw edge of this bottle, and the nurse outside thinks he's like, you know,
he's really enjoying it.
He's really like, he's really into the jerk off room. Ah.
Oh man.
So
that's the story.
I hope that everyone thought that was as funny as we did, or this is really awkward. Steph, thank you for being in our life.
Yeah, just imagine it in your head.
Just imagine what I just read in your head. Thank you for sharing that with us, Steph. We needed that right now.
That's it for today. Join us again soon for another episode.
That was so cute, Sarah. That's it for today.
That's all, folks. Yubba, yubba, yubba.
In the meantime, if you need more, join our closed Facebook groups called The Infertile Mafia and The Infertile Mafia Bosses and Babies. And that Facebook group is for Anyone who has gone through infertility, but maybe now is pregnant or adopting or doing surrogacy, anything that's kind of after the infertility, but you're still infertile, you're kind of in that limbo. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Give us a rating and review if you like the show. You can email us at infertilemafia@gmail.com. And you can find us on Instagram at infertilemafiapodcast.
Speaking of emails, did you see that one email we got from some random person that said, I need money?
Send me money. Yes. Guys, please don't send us emails that say send me money. We don't have any.
No.
You should know this. We're infertile. We don't have money.
And not money to send to random people on the internet. But you can send us an email about infertility stuff if you want.
Absolutely. If you want to let us share some kind of unique experience or something unique about you, a good jerk-off room story, anything like that, we love hearing from Mafia members. So absolutely email us. But don't ask us for money because we don't have any. Hey, thanks again for joining us today
on the Infertile Mafia.
Bye. Bye.